All right, Dr. Richard Gale is with us, and it's a pleasure to have Dr. Gale here. As I said, an orthopedic surgeon with Sutter Health.
That's great.
And sports medicine physician with them, practices in Palo Alto Medical Foundation in Sunnyvale, Mountain View. But just a little bit of his background, and, you know, I was a lawyer for many years, and I used to have to qualify someone as an expert. And, you know, you read off this stuff, and you'd say, any questions, counsel?
Right.
No, we'll accept him as an expert. So he is an expert in orthopedic surgery. I'm just going to tell you, he has done extensive work with the shoulder, elbow, and knee, including cartilage restoration surgery, one of the handful of surgeons in the Bay Area and the United States performing hip arthroscopy, which we're going to ask him about. But he served as assistant team physician for the Raiders, the Sharks, the Sabercats. A lot of, well, you talk about injuries.
I'm a huge fan of the Sabercats.
Yeah, but you get banged around. I guess you get a lot of business for that. So, all right, enough of that. He's an expert. We're happy to have him here. He is fluent in Spanish and French.
Conversational.
And we are going to do this interview in Spanish. So, hola, doctor. ¿Cómo está usted?
Muy bien, gracias.
Very good. Okay, very good.
Hey, well, we got a lawyer and a doctor. I used to deliver furniture for court rentals, so I think that I fit right in, and I speak Italian. You can't say the same, can you, Doc?
I cannot.
Thank you.
But I really appreciate you guys having me on the show.
It's a pleasure.
Long-time listener, and glad to be in the esteemed company of yourself and
Pecan.
Nice. It's a pleasure to have you here. And, you know, there's so many injuries that go on. And just reading the Sharks and the Sabercats, you got your hands full. You know, it's job security, as we used to say in criminal law. But injuries, let's talk about some specific kinds of injuries. We don't have to talk about the players because you're not necessarily treating them and we'd be violating some HIPAA oath or something like that.
Right.
But let's talk about the shoulder injury, that separated shoulder, the strain or sprain of the shoulder, and how that rehabs for a certain left-handed pitcher who had that injury. Do you know he's going to be okay? What sort of rehab goes on there? What is the injury?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, the shoulder separation that happens basically is a separation or a strain between the collarbone and the shoulder blade. There's a fibrous tissue that connects those two bones. And there are definitely different types of grades of those injuries, from a mild or a grade one, which is just a partial tear, to a grade three up until a grade six. And it seems like one of the players that we're alluding to has a grade two separation, which is a complete tear, but the bones aren't separated. So the prognosis is actually fairly good. Unfortunately, it's his throw-in shoulder, but because it's not significantly separated, the rehab potential is quite good. And usually it's based upon the amount of discomfort that one's having initially. As their pain dies down, you can get them to do more, but it's really based upon how they feel. And I would expect a similar type of player with his caliber, 6 to 8 weeks regarding his recovery.
Mm. Wow.
Now, would you know that that a pitcher could be fully recovered in 6 or 8 weeks, or do you have to go 6 to 8 weeks, then put him on a mound and throw 93 miles an hour and say, how does it feel?
Yeah, you really have to test them and see what their limits are. And I think based upon their level of discomfort, you can basically increase their activity as comfort allows.
Ah, very good.
Interesting. Okay, Dr. Gale, you talk about a level of discomfort, and that directly correlates to the rehab. I've had a theory my whole life that genetically some people can run faster, some can jump higher. There are those with higher and lower IQs. Is pain threshold, medically diagnosed that some people are tougher than others, or is that just a kind of a mindset that can be honed?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think pain is a very subjective complaint. Everybody deals with their pain a little bit differently. Some people are able to tolerate more pain than others, so I think you really have to individualize it.
Have you met people that are just off the charts in their pain threshold?
Yeah, I've met all extremes. I've met people who you really wonder how they're able to engage in their activities despite the physical appearance of their injuries, and then others who are more sensitive, and then there's a whole gamut of people in between.
Sure.
Well, Dr. Richard Gale is with us. So let's talk about the elbow, because the Tommy John surgery, every day you see someone getting Tommy John surgery, kids and all that. And one of the listeners actually has a question for you, and I'll throw this out today. Please ask the doctor about kids playing the same sport 12 months of year, overusage injuries versus playing the sport only in the season.
Yeah, well, part of the big issue with youth athletes, especially baseball, is the overuse. And, you know, the Tommy John surgery was named after that baseball player, Tommy John, who had the very first surgery to the inner aspect or medial aspect of the elbow. And especially in pitchers and commonly in baseball players, there's so much stress that's placed on that inner aspect or medial aspect of the elbow. And when you transfer that to youth athletes, they're growing, their bodies are maturing, the stresses on their joints are higher than adults who are able to tolerate it a little bit more. And especially when Tommy John had that surgery back in 1974, the chances of him doing well, Frank Jobe, who did the surgery, stated that you have a 1 in 100 shot of making it back to your major league career. And obviously he defied odds. He had a great pitching career, had more wins after the surgery than he did prior to the surgery. And so that surgery really revolutionized the treatment of this type of injury. And that being said, I think with the youth, they're more active, they're playing more sports, they're playing more months during the season. What we realize is rest is a key component to longevity in sports. And so we really have to be careful in not overusing or overutilizing these kids as they're trying to progress at an elite level.
Wow, good.
Boy, all right, so Tommy John surgery's been around a long time. Obviously, I remember him pitching, you know, and he had the surgery, came back with the Dodgers, and ended up winning about 285 games, I think, in his career. But has the surgery progressed now? If someone has Tommy John surgery, the Giants have a relief pitcher who just had Tommy John surgery,
right,
and he's rehabbing, he's out of his little brace now, and he's doing mobility exercises and all that. It seems like everybody comes back from it. I mean, it seems like, you know, if you had, my God, shoulder surgery, who knows what could happen. It's a different deal. But this Tommy John surgery, you have it, and you seem like you come back from it.
Yeah, it's a very reliable procedure, and the success rate is very high. I think with a disciplined rehab, being very optimistic but cautious, most players tend to get back fairly well. I think the position players tend to get back a little bit quicker.
Okay.
Obviously, the pitchers place a lot more stress on the elbow, but it's a very reliable, successful procedure.
Anything new the way you do it? I mean, I know we have arthroscopic surgery, and of course, you don't have to open up the elbow and all that stuff. And Tommy John surgery, do they open up the elbow for that?
They do. It's a fairly small incision, but it is a open procedure. Okay. The procedure itself has been fairly consistent over the years. I think what has changed now is trying to increase the biology of healing using these adjuncts that we have to help promote healing quicker while at the same time maintaining the structure of the ligament.
I got to ask you, Doc, blisters. It seems like such a strange, benign thing to keep a pitcher out of action. Rich Hill, probably one of the more famous blister victims.
Nolan Ryan.
Was he a blister guy?
Absolutely. He put his finger in pickle brine. Right, Gary Hughes, Nolan Ryan? He used to walk around all day with a jar of pickle juice, and he used to have his finger in there.
You got well,
Nolan
I had,
Ryan.
That's incredible.
Eddie Montague. Let's say, what do we say at Eddie Montague?
Boo.
All right, our umpire here. Did you ever accuse Nolan Ryan of having too much pickle brine on his fingers or anything like that?
Not Nolan.
Not Nolan. All right.
He'd give you a noogie, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
all right.
That's another story.
Yeah. Did you get along with Nolan Ryan?
Yeah.
All right.
You got no choice.
All right. We'll throw the curveball here. Well, it's baseball. We're throwing the doctor a curveball here. What do you do with blisters?
Yeah.
Well, you know, blisters are a bubble that connects underneath the skin. They're just very sensitive because they're so close to the skin. They're not necessarily significantly big, but they can come in all shapes and sizes. But it's just a very sensitive area, especially when it's something that involves your livelihood. And obviously there's one of the Giants that has some blisters now that he's working with, but it's in his throwing hand, and it's just a sensitive area. So if you're able to reduce the friction, if you're able to reduce the sensitivity, sometimes you can drain these blisters, but they're just tough.
Yeah, look, Rich Hill went the whole offseason. He didn't throw at all, and he came back, and he had trouble. Yeah, absolutely, when you throw it. So we'll see what comes up with Cueto today. Talking a little bit about hips, and I know there's new arthroscopic surgery with hips now. I know someone who has some arthritis in the hip and bone on bone, and they talk about a hip replacement. Is there anything other than that could be done?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think with the advent of arthroscopic surgery, especially in the hip where we're able to look inside the joint with the telescope, one of the treatments for arthritis, it really depends upon the severity of the arthritis. And what we've found is the more arthritis you have, unfortunately, the less successful arthroscopic surgery is. But for mild arthritis, for tears around the socket, arthroscopic surgery is a very good procedure. And what we found is, too, that it can minimize the progression of arthritis if certain treatment options are treated arthroscopically early.
How do you know if you have severe arthritis? How do you find that out?
Yeah, the first step is really to get an x-ray. That's a really good blueprint to really see how the joint space looks.
I know the person has done that. And he's also had an MRI.
Oh, really?
And he also had a cortisone shot.
Okay.
And he also takes Celebrex, and he feels better. So that's
well,
the story.
I've often thought that I may have arthritis in my left hip, but I can't get a diagnosis. So I'm either just fat or I have arthritis in my left hip. But people ask me why I limp all the time. So I don't know. Maybe I need an x-ray.
You need an x-ray, Pecan.
All right. Very good. Dr. Gale, it's a pleasure having him here with us. I hope you can come back again.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. We actually make you a regular on the show.
Sure.
Very good to find out this stuff. Eddie Montague, of course, was an umpire for so many years, and he got hit in the mask over 1,000 times. As he sit here, he blinks a lot, you know, and he sees stars all the time. Yeah, he had vertigo. But my question for the doc is this. Not only concussions and things like that, but getting hit, the way these guys get hit in the mask with foul balls, doesn't it do something to the vertebrae and the neck and all that? Don't you see some results there?
It can, The severity of the impact can really be problematic sometimes based upon the velocity of the speed of the ball.
Yes.
I was going to say bulging disc,
and that's my point, that it's not just the concussion now.
Right.
You'll
right.
see something that involves a vertebrae as well.
Right.
Boy, shoulder, let's wrap it up with this, and as I said, please come back anytime. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Shoulder injuries seem to be more problematic. Tommy John, you say, okay, I'll see you in a year, and you'll be pitching again. A shoulder injury, the velocity's different, the command is different. Why?
The shoulder is probably the most mobile joint in the body, so it is subject to a fair amount of stress just because it has so much motion.
Okay. Yeah, it's a tough one, and you got to get in there, and there's a lot going on, I guess. As a lay person, I would say that there's more going on when you get into a shoulder than looking at an elbow.
Right, and I think now, especially with youth baseball, we're really trying to see what we can do to minimize injuries, and what we found is a stretching program, a strengthening program, can really help reduce the risk of injuries. So I think that's an important concept for those who are playing baseball at a young age, that rehab before playing is actually very beneficial.
Wow, very good. Boy, pleasure.
Yeah, great stuff, doctor. Yeah, I was listening to a podcast this morning, and they were saying that it's less about throwing curveballs for the youth kids playing baseball. It's more just the technique in which you throw. You could be throwing anything. If you ain't throwing it right, you're going to end up getting cut up. So
yeah, as well as the volume. I think pitch count is a really big predictor in terms of minimizing or maximizing injuries.
Well, what's the youngest person that comes in for Tommy John surgery?
That's a good question. I mean, maybe they come in for an evaluation to see if they need it, but to be honest, I think the 15 to 19 range is probably the most common now.
Wow.
It's gotten younger and younger.
Wow. One more question for Dr. Gale. We were celebrating the life of Hall of Famer Jim Bunning yesterday, and he was throwing 300 innings a year, and now they get you make a $20 million a year salary if you can go over 200 innings. And then yet you still are going to get Tommy John. Guys like that in the old days didn't. Were they just tougher? Or is there something going on where they didn't diagnose it back in the days like they do now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the baseball players now are bigger and stronger. They have their velocity is faster and stronger. So we're really about trying to protect and give longevity to players' careers. So I think if you look at the transition in the evolution of baseball, I think you got athletes who are bigger and stronger now.
Yeah, more horsepower.
Yeah, that's what happened, and cut down on the stress and the pitchers, and you have a longer career. Well, great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks very
pleasure.
Much. Real pleasure.
Please come back. I know we liked having the doctors on, and you did really well, and we'd love to have you back here.
Anytime. Thanks very much.
All right, let's hear it for Dr. Gale. Very good.
Au revoir.
Very good. Adios, as they say.
Adios, pelota.
All right. That's right. All right. Very good.